Hello to our millionaire mamas. This is Karen Kalis with the Millionaire Mama Telesummit. I am so excited to have Carrie Carbonaro join us today. She is the money queen, and girls, we can all use some help with our financial matters as we get our businesses started. She's a certified financial planner with an MBA in finance and has over 25 years of experience in financial services. In 2014, she was named an ambassador for the CFP board, one of only 50 in the United States. That's an amazing accomplishment. Carrie's latest book, The Money Queen's Guide for Women Who Want to Build Wealth and Banish Fear, was just published, and it is an Amazon number one bestseller. Carrie, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this this interview because finances can be such an issue for so many people. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I have been in the financial service profession for 25 years, which is a really long time. And then before that, I grew up with my father, who was also in finance and raised me. You know how kids play ball, you know, with their parents or, you know, their dad, they throw a ball with the dad. Me and my dad did finance stuff. So we would spend weekends going to, like, foreclosure auctions or watching I remember going with him to see Straight Talk with the Dolans. This was like in the 80s. I don't even know if the Dolans are still around, but they were a financial couple that used to talk about stuff, and they used to go around and do seminars, and we would go to those types of things. So it was kind of a very strong bond that I had with my father, and we grew up, and I learned he didn't think that it was any different for a female or a male when it came to money, and he wanted to teach me everything that there was, and so that was how I learned, and it's what we spoke about. And my dad passed in 2005, and so when I wrote my book, I actually dedicated it to him because I talk a lot about him in my book and the stories and you know, what I went through with him. But he's pretty much been the guiding influence in my life there.
That is amazing. Dads can have such a great influence on us as entrepreneurs. So you mentioned your book. How about if you tell us a little bit more about your book, your motivation for writing it? Talk to us a little bit more about the book. I'm really excited about it.
Sure. So, my book came out October 13th of last year, and it was number one new release and number one bestseller in wealth management for many, 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 many weeks. It was probably at this point now 10, 11, 12 weeks, so months and months of being a bestseller in my category of wealth management. And what people were surprised was, like, why is this book so popular? And, you know, it's a finance book, but it's not really a finance. It's a little bit more than that, which is why I guess it is popular, especially with women. First of all, obviously it's for women because it's called The Money Queen's Guide for Women Who Want to Build Wealth and Banish Fear. And it's funny, when I say that title and when I was making up the title, I was running it by all my girlfriends, and I was using them as my litmus test. And every time I would say something to them, they'd say, "I want that." And I said, "You know what? That's universal. I think every female wants to build wealth and banish fear. They just don't know how to do it. But it's a universal want." So that was when I coming up with the title. But so what was my inspiration for writing the book? So 25 years of working with clients one-on-one, seeing all the pros and cons and ups and downs of women and decisions and life events. And I said, I have so much knowledge in my head that I really want to get it out. So I always wanted to write a book. And then I went through a terrible, terrible, terrible divorce started in 2008 and didn't finish until 2011. And I also really wanted to write the story of my divorce and my story because I think it's a very important tale for women because it's such an extreme, juicy story. And so I sort of said, I'm going to try to combine these two books together, which is why it's not your traditional finance book. So the beginning part of the book is me talking about my story, and it's a juicy, juicy story. As a matter of fact, one of the reviewers wrote on in the Orlando Sentinel, "Oh, ladies, you are going to hate Carrie Carbonaro's ex-husband, but you're going to love her book." So that sort of gives you a flavor of what I talk about. And I tell the whole sordid tale. Actually, not the whole thing. There's more, actually, which will be in my next book. But I talk about the financial infidelity. I think I talk a little bit about the verbal abuse, but not as I'm going to put it more in my next book, I think, because that's what everyone wants to hear about the story. But anyway, and then I also overcame so much, and I wanted to tell my story, especially on the finance side about, you know, I was also making a lot at a very young age, and then you would think that I would have everything going my way, and then I got derailed from marrying the wrong man, and what unfolded from there. So so what happens is the beginning of the book is my story, and then the end of the book, or not even the end, really just the beginning is my story, and then before you know it, I break it into decades of your life and life events. So, you know, what would happen in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. But, you know, obviously life does not move like that. So, you know, you could be buying your house, your first house in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s. So I think I put it in your 30s, you know, buying your first house. So it depends, obviously, on a lot of different factors. But, and it's all different life events that happen to women and what to do, what not to do. And it's very educational. It's very fast read. One of the reviewers said, you know, it's very gripping because you don't even realize that she's educating you. You're just reading. And so I like that. That was the whole point of what I was trying to go for, was I was trying to make it accessible for people who say, ugh, money is, I don't want to learn about it, or their eyes glaze over, or you know, it's not fun. It's not, you know, I don't want to deal with this. I want somebody else to take care of it for me. And my whole reason to write this book is I want women to completely take financial responsibility and be financial independent for themselves.
I love that. I love that because I love the fact that you have combined sort of your own story with planning for the future and equipping women to deal with their own financial issues. And as you know, so many of our women are interested, the women that are listening to the Millionaire Mama Telesummit are really interested in leaving their jobs and striking out as an entrepreneur. And I know that you have such a great background in this. Can you just talk to us a little bit about what you see some of the biggest challenges from a financial perspective of sort of leaving your job and then striking out on your own and developing your own business?
Yes, absolutely. So, well, you know, I think for me, I did this when I, and I write about it a little bit in the book, but when I got married to this man that I shouldn't have been married to, I quit a $500,000 a year job in New York City on Wall Street at age 30. And
wow.
I know the numbers are totally insane and everybody flips out when they hear this, but that is what happened. And I went out on my own. Now, if I could do it all over again, I would not have done it that way. I would never have walked away from a job without having something else or taking my time to ease my way into becoming an entrepreneur. So that is literally the best advice I can give you, is not to quit cold turkey. I mean, unless you have a ton of money in the bank that can float you for a lot of years of making no money, which is what happens, unfortunately, when you are an entrepreneur in the beginning. Even if you're good, even if you know what you're doing, it takes a long time. People always told me, you know, it would take 5 years, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it faster. No, it took at least 5 years, at least.
Yeah, I think that's a really good reality check for our listeners. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, if you're going to quit your job, you should have 4 to 6 months worth of living expenses stacked away. You know, can you talk a little bit about how you view that piece of advice? And then maybe you can also share with us sort of, you know, you need living expenses, but as you know as well as I do, when you start a business, you also need investment money to go in there. Can you talk about the planning process that goes into starting a business and dealing with the financial issues?
Sure, absolutely. So, well, first of all, I think it's way more than that amount of money. You said 4 to 6 months?
Yeah, that's we've heard that.
Not in my experience. You may fall off your chair, but I'm going to give you a reality check.
Yeah.
I would say do not quit cold turkey unless you have a bankroll of 2 to 3 years of expenses in the bank.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And what do you base that on? I know based on your experience, can you give us an example?
It's completely on my experience. Because whatever your salary was, and let's say so you're going to stop working. Unless you immediately start day one with all the clients that you had from your previous job, which usually is you probably will have a non-compete, and I don't know anybody who was able to do that ever in my life, to go from, you know, making, let's say, $50,000 as a salary and then making $50,000 the next year as a 1099 or sole proprietor or, you know, partnership or whatever you want to call it, whatever type of business entity it is or LLC. I don't know anybody that does that. I mean, unless they already are ready for it or they're planning for it for years or they're already slowly taking clients and building up their business on the side. You cannot go from – it doesn't happen like that. You know, you go from whatever you made to nothing – and then you have to start from scratch.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And that's a really, really good reality check for our listeners. So then do you advise women who are interested in becoming an entrepreneur, do you think that they should start their businesses as sort of a side job, if you will, or a side hustle, and then branch off?
Yes. That is so incredibly important to me, I think. I mean, unless you're not working and then you're just going to start your business from scratch. But if you are working, giving up the salary and the benefits and the nice comfortability of a job is difficult. But you know what? It's worth it. So because the flexibility and, you know, the unlimited income potential and all the other great stuff of being an entrepreneur is worth it, but it's not easy. That's why it is takes so much time, and it's also not for everyone, and that's another whole story. I mean, I'm thinking anybody here who's listening to the call has already checked if they have what it takes to be an entrepreneur, because it's interesting because nowadays, you know, with Shark Tank and, you know, all the shows, they're almost glamorizing being an entrepreneur, except it's not actually glamorous. It's actually harder than being an employee. So, and you also have to be so self-motivated, and you have to have so many of these different qualities that you got to make sure, am I okay with this? Because I actually used to say all the time that I was a reluctant entrepreneur because I didn't actually say, I want to be my own boss. I just got constantly frustrated with corporate America, and I got relocated to Florida from New York, where I was overqualified for all jobs. It was right after 9/11, and I had no choice but to start my own business because there was nothing else. Like, I started to look for jobs, and first I cut my salary in half, then I cut my salary in a fourth by 25%, at least 75%, I should say, sorry. And I said, forget it. It's not worth me getting up and going to work for somebody else for this amount of money. I can do it myself. And that's what I did, but it took a long time.
Yeah. So this is so thought-provoking to me because you said, you know, okay, if you're listening to this, then you probably have already identified that you're an entrepreneur. What do you think are some of the warning signs that you have sort of, you know, you're desiring to be an entrepreneur, but you aren't really? Can you give us some warning signs, you know, things, hey, you know what, maybe I shouldn't quit my job. Maybe I'm not really cut out for being an entrepreneur.
I want you to take a test. I think, can you put it on a screen or something? But there's it's called an entrepreneur aptitude test.
Okay.
And It's at likequeendome.com.
We'll get the link.
You'll get
for
the
our
link to everybody.
Yeah, get the link to everybody out.
I would say do the entrepreneurship aptitude test as soon as possible because you need to know yourself and you need to know what you're getting into because it is incredibly testing and frustrating and you have to dig deep into, you know, some places you might not even want to dig deep into, like from a emotional and spiritual place, are you going to be able to do this? And it's interesting because for a long time, for the first 5 years, if I was offered a job at any time in those first 5 years, I would have taken it and abandoned ship. That's how hard it was for me. And now people always say to me, how can you say that? You look back now after it's been so many years for me, and, you know, you're so successful, how could you ever say that you would have not done it this way? And I said, because it was that hard. If I knew how hard it was, I don't think I would have done it.
Yeah.
Even to this day.
Wow. So what kinds of skills, then, do you think that make women effective entrepreneurs? Like, if you look at the people that you've worked with and look at the people that you've run across in your path that have become effective entrepreneurs, is there a common core of skills or characteristics that these people have?
Yes. Passion is very important. Determination. Hard work is incredibly important. I probably, even to this day now, I mean, and I've had my business now for almost 15 years, I still can work 7 days a week without even blinking an eye and realizing that I'm working every single day and morning, noon, and night. You know, so that's the thing, you know, the ability to be able to work all the time and, you know, and the dedication to the business. And the, you know, all of that, and, you know, just the tenaciousness, I guess, tenacity is very important. So it's all of these things, and the ability to be okay with some, you know, things not working, because you have to do a lot of trial and error, because things work for some people and they might not work for you, and you have to find out what works for you, and you have to find out what works in your market. And you have to find out where you are in the business cycle, and there's, like, all these different things that, you know, there's factors outside of your control. And, you know, I hear when people, you know, fail at businesses, you know, they'll blame it on the economy, or they'll blame it on this, or, you know. And to me, you know, failure is not an option. So, you know, you make it work no matter what it takes. So that's kind of my take on entrepreneurship.
Yeah, so because you're the money queen, which I have to say, I just love that title. I love that. So because you're the money queen, what type of financial skills do you think entrepreneurs need? And we have women who are considering starting their own businesses. They're saying, I've had enough of the corporate thing, and I want to get out there and start on their own. But what kind of financial skills do they need to have on board in order to succeed?
Okay, great question. So I think they need to know basic budgeting and math and bookkeeping. So they need to be able to know what's coming in, what's going out of their personal life as well as their business. They need to be able to account for, you know, what's coming in, what's going out in their business. They need to know, you know, if it's a good, what's the cost of goods sold. They need to know if it's a service, are they, you know, what's the total cost of getting a new client? You know, all those metrics, a lot of the metrics they talk about on, like, you know, the profit, and a little bit on Shark Tank, but, you know, these are great things to watch and just learn about other businesses and see how they're measuring and how they're doing what they're doing. Because, you know, I've had people who said, you know, who really thought that they were successful, and then, you know, they forgot to pay corporate taxes, or they forgot to pay workers' comp, or they forgot to pay, you know, they need an accountant too, you know, or they forgot, you know, something big that then, guess what? Not only did they not make any money, they actually lost money, which is more normal actually in the beginning anyway. So it's a combination of all of those things. So you need to go in with your eyes wide open. There's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of financial, ratios and metrics that you need to know.
Okay. So I am not a math person. I actually had someone ask me if I would manage the books for a nonprofit organization, and I actually laughed at them because I thought, I'm the wrong person to ask to do that. So for somebody like me or like one of my other millionaire mamas who are not gifted in the financial area and in accounting, what suggestions do you have for them? Do you advise them to hire someone? What qualifications should they look for?
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, they needed an accountant. So they should probably, you know, the accountant could also do the bookkeeping in most cases, you know, and if you go sit with a CPA, you can talk to them and say, okay, you know, they'll set them up with their chart of accounts. They'll tell them, you know, what they can deduct, what they can't deduct, all that kind of stuff. So that's what I would suggest doing. I don't know if it's worth hiring somebody in-house, especially in the beginning. You know, you have to make it – it's easier, I think, because the CPA is doing the accounting anyway, for them to do the bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
mm-hmm.
my opinion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So in your opinion, there's nothing wrong with going out and hiring somebody, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that you can hire. I know my own accountant, he's not in-house. He's just someone that we hire to deal with business issues. So you would advise that then for people who are uncomfortable dealing with financial issues. Okay, good. That's good
to
know.
Well, actually, even if you're not uncomfortable, somebody has to do your taxes anyway.
Right. Yeah, good
point.
You know,
so somebody
good
has to do your taxes anyway. So it's a matter of, you know, I mean, in the beginning for me, when I, let's say my first year, and I had two clients, and I had, so I had two income items, and I had, you know, a ton of expense items. And so I obviously lost money my first year. I actually did it myself that year because it was easy enough for me to do on an Excel spreadsheet. But I know what I'm doing with money, so I could certainly do it. I could have even done the taxes if I wanted to, but I didn't. But this is what I'm saying. So it depends on the situation. It depends on the business. It depends on the number of transactions, and it depends on your comfort level.
Yeah. I love that advice. I love that advice, and I love the idea that the first year you're going to have more expenses than you are probably profit, and to plan for that. I love that idea. So have you had any experiences that you can share with our listeners, maybe pitfalls or things that you did really well when you were developing your own business? Give them an idea of, you know, if there's anything that you would really suggest, hey, ladies, you got to get out there and try this because it's going to make a huge difference, or please don't replicate my mistake. Can you tell us any stories about your own business in that way?
Yeah, sure. So I would say, well, first of all, for me, like I said, it was very difficult. The early years are very difficult. So for me, I think I would not take on debt. I think that that's probably the best advice I can give you because you're already starting out with no income coming in. So taking on debt for a new business is very risky. And I don't believe in it. And I think, you know, it's just, you know, if it fails, then you're just going to have more debt and no income to pay it. So it's a very, very – I mean, I never did it because I'm – as you would say, the money queen. So I built my business on a shoestring with no debt. And, you know, people say, you know, you could have grown faster if you would have put the capital expenditure in or, you know, paid for more marketing or programs or, you know, lead generation type things. And I said, you know what? I'm not gonna take the risk. I'm gonna do it slow and steady. So I grew slower, but I also had zero debt.
Mhm. And in what ways? What types of debt might someone take on in their business that would not be healthy?
Unsecured loans, credit card debt. You won't be able to get a business loan. So most of this is going to be under your personal everything will be under your personal social or your personal, credit score. So that's another whole issue because you need that to be strong the entire time with or without a business. So you shouldn't put it at risk.
Absolutely. So in other words, what you're saying is don't go out and buy a house at the same time that you're starting your business.
Exactly.
It might be too much debt to take on.
I mean, unless, like I said, you already have the bills, your spouse is making money to cover it. You already have a huge amount of money to cover you or to float you for 2 to 3 years. So this is all the stuff I'm cautioning.
Yeah. No, that makes a ton of sense. So, just as we wrap up here, do you have any advice or specific nuts and bolts tips or tricks that you can give that will help women to quickly achieve success or more quickly?
Well, there is, it's interesting because that word quickly I don't like.
Okay. That's all
there
right.
There is no quickly in entrepreneurship unless you're extremely lucky. And I've never seen it. Personally, I've never seen anybody who was an overnight success. I mean, even that, you know, like they say, you know, with Facebook, was that really an overnight success? I don't know. It took him years while he did it in college. You know what I'm saying? So, and then years after college. So I don't know. I don't know what an overnight success is. But so my thoughts are believe in yourselves, give 110%, work 7 days a week, have a support system. It's okay to fail and learn from your mistakes.
I love that. And I have a quote on my desk that says, my overnight success took 30 years to build. And it's a quote from Sam Walton, who you know is Walmart and all the associated businesses. But I love that. I think that's the reality of entrepreneurship is it takes time. And Carrie, I so appreciate what you've said about that. So if people want to connect with you, because you've had so much great practical advice on the financial end of building a business and being an entrepreneur, and I just want people to have a chance to get a hold of you, how would they find you?
Okay, I'm easy to find. My website is moneyqueenguide.com, but you can also find me on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Carrie Carbonaro. I also have at moneyqueenguide Twitter handle. You can find me on LinkedIn. You could just put Carrie Carbonaro and Google it, and you'll find me on LinkedIn because I'm the only Carrie Carbonaro in the world, so it's very easy to find. And you can also find me on Facebook, either through Money Queen Guide or through Carrie Carbonaro.
That is great. That is great. So for our listeners, if you missed any of those contact points, that's not a problem. All you need to do is go back and refer to your daily email. We'll have all of that listed there for you. You'll be able to get on Carrie's website and look for her book. And Carrie, your book is available on Amazon.com, correct?
It's actually available everywhere.
Okay, great.
It's available at bookstores, at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at Books A Million, at CEO Reads. So pretty much everywhere. I just happen to like Amazon because they run promos and stuff, and
sure.
they offer it at a lower price.
Sure, great. Okay, so ladies, if you want to take advantage of that book, you can find it on Amazon as well as a bunch of other retailers. It sounds like a great read, so I think I might be buying a copy for myself. It sounds fantastic. So, Carrie, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate you sharing your time and your expertise with us.
You're so welcome. It was
great, fabulous
talking to you.
Good. Thank you so much. And to our millionaire mamas, thanks again for being here. I'm hoping that you've learned a lot about finance today. And we will talk to you next time.